We stand on the threshold of a new year. And during this coming year of 2015, we will do one thing or the other. We will either draw close to God or we won't. The warfare we are in does not permit any Switzerlands, if you know what that means. We're either going up or we're going down. We're either ripening in the beautiful character traits of Jesus or the character traits of the devil. And then soon God is going to lower the boom and probation will close. This next year could very, very easily usher in the final rapid events which we are told will take place before the second coming of Jesus. Jesus is righteous. And this same Jesus is coming for a righteous and a holy people. So let us seek His enabling grace that we might be among those people. And it's in light of Jesus' soon coming and our need to be like Him that today I want to focus on two key passages, two verses in the book of Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and verses 16. And I want to begin by reading, first of all, Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 16, taking the last verse first here. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 16. This prophecy, this verse, was given to the Jews about 487 BC. There's a date in my Bible. We can probably give or take a couple of years here. And I'll read it first of all. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of His people. For they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon His land. You know what an ensign is? Roman legions. Even the Nazis, they walked with their ensigns. On naval ships, you see ensigns. It stands for something. It stands for an entity, it stands for a nation, a power, an army, and in this instance, there is an ensign that is going to be raised up by God across this earth, and underneath that ensign will stand His people. It says, as the stones of a crown. Now, when the Jews received this promise, in the writings of Zechariah about 487 BC, try and imagine what kind of things passed through their mind, because the 70 years in captivity in Babylon, which continued on under the Persian kings, that 70 years had come to an end, and some had already made their way back to Jerusalem. But there was still quite a lot probably straggling out there in Persia, and it was the beginning of a new era for the Jews. And here is this promise that God will make you as the stones of a crown lifted up on an ensign upon His land. What kind of thing, what visions of glory did this bring to a Jew living at that time? That Judah again and Jerusalem would be exalted, and that as a nation, and Jerusalem would become the crown jewel of the earth. And they along with it. But every kingdom is incomplete without a king. And so it was with equal longing that the Jews looked again for an equally glorious king to come again and to sit upon the throne of David and take them back to the glory days. When David reigned and his son Solomon in his early years, that was the golden age for Israel. And this is what they were looking for and longing for. And lo and behold, in the same chapter in Isaiah, where God said, I'll make you as the stones of a crown, He also gave them the promise of a king who would come to rule their nation. Still in Zechariah chapter 9, I want to read verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Now, people reading that today say, what, riding on a donkey? What kind of a king is this? It was the custom for Jewish kings to ride upon a donkey. God had said in the early days not to multiply horses. The pagans had horses, and God did not want His people leaning on the arm of flesh. Well, Solomon later on gathered horses. You know the rest of the story. But God wanted the Jewish kings to ride on a donkey, and this was the custom. And here depicted in this prophecy was, this king is coming unto thee, O daughter of Zion. He is just and having salvation, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So to them, this was it. Here's David, as it were, coming again to sit upon the throne of his glory. Now here's the thing. Without this king, without receiving this king, the Jews could never again go back to the glory days of David and the early days of Solomon. They had to accept this king that had been promised. And more so, without this king, they could never become as the stones of a crown there in verse 16 in the hand of God lifted up above his land. And so 480 years thereabouts, after the time of Zechariah, this prophecy of Zechariah 9:9 was finally fulfilled with a triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Let us go to Matthew chapter 21, and we will read this. Matthew 21, verses 4, 5, 8, and 9. Matthew 21, verses 4, 5, 8, and 9. It's amazing how God says something. It can be 1,000 years before, in this instance, close to 500 years before, and what He says comes to pass. Amen. Matthew 21, verses 4 and 5. At the beginning of the chapter there, you see that Jesus is there. He drew nigh to Jerusalem, and then He tells His disciples, go. He says, you'll find this donkey, the colt. Verse 4. And he mounts it. And he says, and all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Zechariah, saying in verse 5, and it's quoting here from Zechariah 9, verse 9, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And verse 8, so Jesus sets off in this triumphal entry. And one by one, people come, what's going on here? This is the king. This is the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. So they get in line. And they move on here in verse 8. And it says, a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. Verse 9, and the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Just imagine that scene if you can. What's going on here? Some said, who is this? What is this? This is Jesus of Nazareth. But not only that, he's the Messiah. He is David, come again in the flesh, as it were. He's going to pronounce himself king in Jerusalem. Finally, our glory days are coming back. And so all these people, just imagine the throng here. And yet, 5 days after Jesus was so enthusiastically hailed as the long-expected King and Messiah, the very same people crucified Him and put Him to death. Why? You might ask. Why? Well, Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. It says there, if you look halfway through, this king, it says, he is just. You can take that word just and you can just as rightly translate it as righteous or righteousness. So the king that finally came to be received by the Jews on that day as he triumphantly rode toward Jerusalem was a righteous king. And it was his purpose to reign within the hearts of his people, for he longed to make them righteous just like himself. And also in Zechariah verse 9, it says he is just and what? Having salvation. That same king came and longed to bestow upon his people. He longed to deliver them, to bring salvation, deliverance from the sins and the evil ways which they were shackled in. Jesus longed to do that. Zechariah 9:9, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, righteous, and wants to set them free from sin to make them righteous. But it also says lowly and sitting upon an ass. But they crucified him and rejected him as king because they didn't want a lowly king offering them salvation and deliverance from the sins which they loved. They wanted a warrior king to deliver them from the Romans, which they hated. And so they rejected the Messiah, who came in fulfillment of this great prophecy, and they put him to death. We might look back upon this and say, how could the Jews, how could those people be so blind? How could they be so stubborn? How could they do such a thing? Human nature is human nature. It was human nature then, 2,000 years ago, and human nature hasn't changed. We are just as capable. So keep that in your head and let us remain humble this morning and not too judgmental of the Jews, the way they treated Jesus. But as a tragic consequence of rejecting the king, Judah's former days of glory were not to be restored. As a consequence, Judah did not become as the stones of a crown in the hand of God, lifted up as an ensign upon his land. Instead, the hated Roman ensigns, they stayed there. Every town, every village, there was the evidence of the Roman occupation. And when the Romans would march by on those special days, those legions, all smart, they would raise those pagan ensigns, and the Jews hated it. They hated being under that yoke. But they could have been freed from that yoke had they accepted the king. It would have brought salvation and deliverance. But instead of the Jews being an ensign in the hand of God over the land, the Roman ensigns continued to prevail until finally those Roman ensigns were outside Jerusalem. When finally in AD 70, it was destroyed. We look at that and we think, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. But here's the point I want to make this morning. There are some prophecies and promises given in the Old Testament that have an even larger application and fulfillment for God's people in the end times today, just before the second coming of Jesus. And Zechariah chapter 9 and verses 6 and 9, this is two of these promises. One is a promise. They're both a promise. But at the same time, one is a condition. There is glory as the stones of a crown to be the ensign of God. But we must first accept the King who goes along, who will make us as the stones of a crown. So with that in mind, I want us to look and place ourselves in the context of how do we relate to these two passages in the book of Zechariah. Are we going to align ourselves with them and become all that God wants us to be and be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ in glory? Do we want to align ourselves with them, or do we want to disalign ourselves as the Jews did and lose such a rich and a glorious reward? So with this issue very clearly before us, I want us to turn. Well, let us go to the Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Remember, the Jews received him not. Let's keep this in mind. John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Beginning of the Gospel of John, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God," and so on. And it speaks about the Word being Jesus. He created everything. In verse 10, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." But then, and we would expect that from the world. But you go to verse 11 of John chapter 1, it says, "He came unto his own." That triumphal entry in the spring of AD 31, that triumphal entry, he came unto his own, and his own what? His own received him not. And we know the outcome. But in verse 12, we see what would and could have been the outcome for the Jews had they received him. They didn't. We can still receive him. And let us see what the outcome will be for us if we do receive Christ as our King and our Savior. It says in verse 13, verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power," or in the Greek that same word is right, or authority. "To them he gave power, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Something very significant here I don't want us to miss. To receive Jesus, it's not just some intellectual assent to a personage that we hear about in history and we read about in the Word of God. There is far more to it than that. When we receive Jesus, it results in the new birth experience. And here is what it says in verse 11. In verse 12, "Those who received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." But verse 13, "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God." Jesus is the King. And he is coming soon in glory to establish what we call his kingdom of glory. But he has a kingdom already upon this earth, and that is what we call his kingdom of grace. And those who are subjects in his kingdom of glory when he comes in the clouds, those who are subjects in that kingdom must first become subjects down here in his kingdom of grace. This is why Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. And so we must be willing to accept him as our King in this kingdom of grace, to prepare us to be our King in the kingdom of glory. And it's when we are born again of the Holy Spirit that Jesus will give to us as we receive him as King. "To them who received him, to them gave he power to become the sons and daughters of God through the power of the Holy Spirit." That's why we read in Romans 8:14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the daughters of God, the children of God." I have a question for you this morning. Are you being led by the Spirit of God? If you are, you may not be perfect yet, but you surrender to Jesus. If you're led by the Spirit of God, be assured you are a son and daughter of God. He may not be through with you, but if you submit and it's in your heart to obey him and you love him with the capacity that you have, he will take care of the rest. But that question still is hanging here. If you are not being led of the Spirit of God, you are being led of another spirit. Only you can answer that. And you know, according to the Word of God, if you read it, you know which road you are going down. And I'm not here to point any fingers because I don't know which road you're going down and I don't know what's in your heart. But God doesn't. He sees it all. And the devil knows just where he wants to take you. And he'll take you if you let him. Your only safety is to say, Lord, I want to be led by your word. I want to be led by your spirit. And the spirit is always in harmony with the word. You will never go astray. The road we are on is so very, very crucial and so very important because every road has an end. And if you're on the road to eternal life, well, actually, it never ends, does it? This leg of the journey ends down here. Then we enter the courts of glory. But the other road, it has an end. And it's not a good. And it's not a happy end. Make sure you are led of the Spirit. So you're on the right road. And you have a good end. Or a good beginning. They which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And it is this spiritual birth received through Christ that makes us children of God and delivers us from the power of sin. And what it said there is just having salvation. Salvation is deliverance. And the Jews didn't want him. They didn't want this lowly king delivering them from the sins which they loved. They wanted a warrior king who would deliver them from the Romans which they hated. And that's why they lost out. We don't have to lose out. Make sure you don't. Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear and to sin, but you have received the spirit of adoption. God adopts us through the Spirit when we become His children, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In verse 16, the Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Then Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. So as Christ is glorified, when he came forth from the tomb, he came forth glorified. He ascended to heaven. He has a glorified human body. And that glory that he has and he possesses is that glory that we shall have one day. We shall shine as the stones of a crown in the kingdom of glory. But right here now, I tell you again, Jesus wants to make us as the stones of a crown in his hand, lifted up as an ensign above the land, above this earth. And in doing that, it calls for some cutting. It calls for some grinding. It calls for some polishing. You go down to a jeweler's, there's one around the corner here. I forget what it's called. But you walk in that store and you look at those diamonds. They don't come out the earth like that, you know, all nice. They come out pretty ugly looking. But so how do they get them all nice? Well, they have to grind them. They have to put that diamond through some grief, through some suffering. But in the end, that which looks like just a chunk of rough old glass is something that some young man is willing to pay maybe some $100 for a young lady that he loves with all his heart. I'm not advocating you buy jewelry. But I think you get the point. It says here, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. So as Jesus suffered, we've got some suffering to do as well in this process of polishing us and making us as the stones of a crown. We got some suffering to do. But it's with Jesus. You know, the sad thing is there are people in this world who go through suffering, But Jesus isn't with them. He longs to be with them, but they've rejected him. They don't want him. So they go through this terrible suffering to no end. But when we suffer for Christ's sake and we suffer with him, it's all for a glorious and a wonderful purpose. And you come out of that suffering, and what has God done with you? He's polished you. He's cut you. He's chiseled you. Now, I know we don't like it, but it all works for good so that he can make us beautiful as the stones of a crown. Philippians 1:6, being confident, and he will fulfill this. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When Adam and Eve came forth from the hand of the Creator, they were like the stones of a crown. They lost it because of sin. And we've lost it as well. But God is going to restore that glory. This is from Acts of the Apostles, page 209, 210. Without the cross, we could have no union with the Father. On it depends our every hope. From it shines the light of the Savior's love. And when at the foot of the cross, the sinner looks up to the one who died to save him, he may rejoice with fullness of joy, for his sins are pardoned. Kneeling in faith at the cross, he has reached the highest place to which men and women can attain. Through the cross, we learn that the Heavenly Father loves us with a love that is infinite. Can we wonder that Paul exclaimed, God forbid that I should glory, saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is our privilege also to glory in the cross. Our privilege to give ourselves wholly to him who gave himself for us. Then, with the light that streams from Calvary shining in our faces, we may go forth to reveal this light to those in darkness. And may I add in conclusion, go forth for God, shining with the beauty of Jesus as the stars of a crown. God bless you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.